This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and for the next few minutes, we'll be sharing some great information with you, including Joe McKenzie, who is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. Leibel Sternbach, a financial planner, is here with us this week. He'll also be sharing some great information on how we can keep more of our hard-earned money. Dr. Michael Osterholm, an epidemiologist and a former advisor to President Joe Biden, he'll be here talking about the Omicron variant. And we have our National Day and today's Words to the Wise. All this and more this week on New Beginnings. Please welcome Dr. Michael Osterholm, Director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. And I was just listening to Dr. Shaw just the other day, and he was saying that beware of summer. That has an ominous feel to it, Dr. Osterholm. What do you say?
Well, you know, Freddie, as you and I have been talking about this for a number of months, this is a situation where we just have to be humble and acknowledge from a science standpoint what we know and don't know. And this virus keeps throwing these 210-mile-an-hour curveballs at us with all these genetic changes that then makes it more likely to evade the protection of vaccines, previous infection, and it makes it more transmissible. And so I think at this point we have to be very careful in saying this is what's going to happen in 3 to 6 weeks, let alone 3 to 6 months. And we've continued to see that. Omicron, which was that variant, one form of the virus that emerged in November and December in South Africa, spread through the world in January, February. As you know, we got hit really hard. Mm-hmm. That has now actually gone on and mutated into several different forms. The original one was what we call BA1. Now we have BA2, we have BA2.1, 2.1, we have BA4, we have BA5, all just in a matter of weeks. And if you go to South Africa right now, which got hit by the original BA1 strain, they're now getting hit by BA4 and 5. And people who were previously infected and protected are now getting infected again with this BA4 and BA5. And so I have to say right now, we are not done with this virus at all. It's not done with us. We may feel like we're done with it, but it's not done with us. And so I don't know what's going to happen, but I am certain that we will see more challenges with this virus. And the best thing we can do right now, though, is get vaccinated, because we are showing clearly, even if you do get infected or you get reinfected, if you've been previously vaccinated, your likelihood of having severe illness is greatly reduced. And that right now is a gift. You know, it's one thing to get sick, it's another thing to get sick and die.
How comfortable are you with the vaccines and their protection ability when the viruses are changing so much, with people getting sick? Even the vice president here recently was infected.
Yeah. Great question. Well, I'm never comfortable with this virus. As I've said to you before on this show, I sleep with one eye open every night waiting for which variants are going to show up today. Mm-hmm. And, and I think that's a real challenge. But the data surely do show the number of deaths right now are not climbing at all in the same way that the number of cases or even the number of hospitalizations are. And that is, again, because people who have this pre-existing immunity, particularly if you've had that third dose of vaccine for the mRNA vaccine, you have a much, much higher likelihood of actually having a mild illness. So I am very comfortable with that. I think it's an incredible gift. We have a number of people whose lives have been saved because of these vaccines, I mean in the millions. And that, I think, is a great thing. So even with these viruses changing, the existing vaccination protection is enough to overcome that, to at least make it so you have a milder illness.
Should the nation continue funding testing and vaccines indefinitely? I was just looking where Paxlovid is a better option, they say, than the vaccine. But that doesn't mesh up very well with what you've been telling us for the last year.
No, it's not either or with the vaccines. Okay, the vaccine is there to help you from getting infected, or if you do get infected, you have a mild illness. Paxlovid is merely an add-on to that that says if you do get infected anyway, this is one thing that can help you reduce the likelihood of severe illness. So this is not either or. This is additive and is very important. And I think at this point, even it's fair to say that We have to monitor the drug treatment issues to make sure we don't get resistance developing. Remember, we talk about drug resistance all the time, where the microbe mutates further, and then the effectiveness of the drugs that we once had are not there. We see that with antibiotics all the time. We see it with some of the antiviral drugs. So we are monitoring that very closely. At this point, that hasn't been a problem yet. So I feel very confident and comfortable. We do need more. We need more. And again, I come back to the fact that, for those who have made it through this pandemic thus far, remember, we've lost over 1 million lives in this country alone. But for those who have made it, boy, you don't want to find out you're going to get seriously ill 3, 6, 10 months from now. We got to keep on top of this. And getting better vaccines and getting better drugs is still something that's really important.
I was at our local barber shop here near the radio station, and I was listening to one of the nurses, and she was telling me that there is word that Congress is not going to be funding testing. Congress is not going to be funding vaccines. Are you concerned with that, or is that tale right now?
No, that's true. We're very concerned about that. We're kind of in a political standoff. And it's not necessarily on the funding of the programs. They get caught up in other politics. So, it's never just one issue. You throw three or four into a kind of the horse ring and figure out, who's going to, how you going to, horse trading occurs. This is a bad one to horse trade on, because as the old oil frame commercial of 30 years ago used to say, you can pay me now or you'll pay me later. Mm. And I think that that's what we're going to be up against. If we do not have better vaccines, we don't have more drugs available, then we're going to see more and more people die. And look what this has done, not just on a personal level, which has been dramatic, but look what it's done to our economy. Look what it's done to so many people's lives, that even if you haven't had COVID, the pain and suffering you've had to put up with economically, et cetera. So I think this is a huge one. I do have to do a shout-out for the barbershop programs. I have to tell you that, I've been very involved with Dr. Steve Morris out in the University of Maryland. And Stephen has done just dramatic work with the black barbers and black beauticians out there. And today, some of the very best information and therefore some of the most well-informed people are those that are attending the black barbershops and black beauticians. They are getting incredible information because of all the efforts that they've done at the University of Maryland to bring these trusted members of our community into the fold of informed individuals. And I got to tell you, there are a lot of black barbers and beauticians out there right now that know almost as much about this disease as doctors do. And it's a great place to get it.
Final question this morning for you, Doctor. We're talking with Dr. Michael Osterholm. I see people, I've been to concerts and I've been to different churches and so forth, and we're not wearing masks. I know you've been a big proponent of respirators. What do you say right now, even as the vaccines seem to be keeping people from dying in the big numbers that we've witnessed already, what do you say about masks and respirators?
Well, right now there really are different risk categories for what might happen if you get infected. If you're older, over age 65, if you have underlying health problems, including, hypertension, diabetes, if you're overweight, these are all huge risk factors for serious illness. And even if you're vaccinated, the vaccine can only do so much, even in those categories. And so one of the things you can do to protect yourself, in addition to getting vaccinated, is to wear that N95 respirator, which I do. I do. I fit in those categories. I'm an old man. And, I say to myself, I want to be in a place like this, but I also don't want to get infected and become seriously ill. And I have to tell you, just in the past 10 days, I've had a number of colleagues, people who are doctors and nurses here in the Twin Cities area, who have gotten infected, who have been really, really sick. And they've been vaccinated, but, they also got Paxlovid. They're getting better. But, at the same time, you don't want to go through that, even if it means being out for 7 to 10 days. That's you don't want to do that. So, anyway, at this point, I would say definitely wear your N95 respirator, particularly if you need to protect yourself because you're at high risk for serious illness.
If I'm going to Walgreens, I should put on my mask?
I would if, Walgreens may be a busy place. If you're waiting in line to get your drugs, you're sitting next to somebody or standing next to somebody, if they'd be infected, they don't know it, you don't know it, and you're breathing in it. Just remember, imagine if that person were smoking a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
Would you smell it if you're standing next to them? You bet you would.
Yes.
Okay? That's an aerosol. That's the very same thing as me breathing out. That's what you'd breathe in my air that I just exhaled out, just sort of a cigarette smoke. And you don't want to do that, even for a couple of minutes.
Wow. Dr. Michael Osterholm, thanks for being with us this morning. We will soon meet.
Anytime, Freddie, you know that. We were talking before we got on the show here just how long you and I have been doing this. And I want to thank you because you have become such a credible voice and an important voice in the community, you know, trusted information. And so thank you to you, too.
It's our pleasure. Let's do this again.
Okay. Take care, Freddie.
You
good
too.
To talk to you.
All Minnesotans aged 12 and older who got the Pfizer vaccine should get a booster shot at least 5 months after their second dose. People aged 12 to 17 can also receive the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine as their booster dose. To find a vaccine or a booster for your child, visit mn.gov/vaxforkids or check with your healthcare provider or pharmacy or watch for vaccination clinics being offered at schools or other community locations near you. This message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
And now information from my I Bet You Didn't Know That desk. A guy in New York makes tens of thousands of dollars a year as a professional line stander. Need tickets to an event or a new gadget? He'll stand in line just for you. Nothing says rich American like paying someone to stand for hours to buy you a ticket to an event where you get to sit for hours. And taking breaks could be a good thing. They improve your mood, your productivity, and they're good for your health. But no matter when you take your breaks, you should be scheduling them. That's the conclusion of a study from the Columbia Business School. They found that downtime is more refreshing and more effective at helping people get back to the top of their game when it's planned in advance. The researchers also offer advice for how to put their findings to use. Number one, set breaks at regular intervals. Number two, use a timer if you have to. Number three, when it goes off, switch task. Check your email or clean your desk and then return to the original task. If you're hesitant to break away because you feel that you're on a roll, be mindful that it might be a false impression. Sometimes what feels like productivity is really just you regenerating old ideas, and sometimes the path to real productivity leads you through a stretch of doing nothing. Can you guess? 1 in 10 families don't save these. Give up? Leftovers. Did you know that our dogs can be stressed? Yes, Swiss veterinarians say more and more dogs are suffering from stress and burnout caused by demanding owners like you. One researcher says dogs are suffering increasingly from tension, stomach aches, and headaches because of stress. There are a number of factors behind it, but in most cases, stressed or demanding owners are to blame. And finally, half of your friends probably don't think of you as a friend. Take a minute and count up all of your friends, not just the close ones or the ones you've seen recently, every single person on this earth that you consider a pal. Okay, you got the number in mind? Good. Now cut that in half. Researchers say this smaller number may actually be more accurate. As it turns out, we can be pretty terrible at knowing who our friends are. A study in the journal Plus One made the case that as many as half the people we consider our friends don't feel the same way. From my I Bet You Didn't Know That desk, I'm Freddie Bell on New Beginnings. Hi, everybody. This is New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and with me right now is our career expert, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He has a company called Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. Let me pause right there. How do you turn candidates into contenders, Joe McKenzie?
Freddie Bell, we work with people to enhance their interviewing skills, their networking skills, and just knowing what their transferable skills are so they can introduce them into the hiring process and really transform someone's thinking into I can contend for this job. And that's the mindset that helps people acquire those good jobs that they're seeking.
Interesting. So that's Joe McKenzie. His website is ribbleconnects.com. A telephone number for you, if you'd like to use the plain old telephone system, is 763-438-1621. We're talking about a page out of my book entitled Words to the Wise. And what topic are you selecting today, Joe McKenzie?
This is one that I think it applies to a lot of people at any point in their career. If you just graduated from college or you're looking to carve out a second career or move up within a company, and that's recognize opportunities. That jumped off the page to me. I've learned some things myself over the years to be open to watching for those opportunities, but I've also been in the camp where I haven't been open or haven't been watching for opportunities. And I think some of opportunities have passed me by because I wasn't open or looking for them. That's why these two words meant a lot to me enough to bring it to you today to say, how do you recognize opportunities, Freddie Bell?
Well, it's interesting that you even landed on that, because last week we talked about career success coming at any age. And I think the only way that it can happen for us and to happen for you, whomever might be listening today, is number one, to be open and receptive to see. If you're open to opportunities, if you're just open in general and you're seeing and you're saying, okay, I know that opportunities are out there, then if you have that mindset to be open to see, open and receptive to see, you'll start to see these opportunities dropping in your basket, so to speak, your career basket, your life basket, whatever it might be, more so than you'll be able to ever contain, just because you opened your mind to see life unfolding in a different way.
So what I hear you saying, Freddie, is if you take the step of being open, so often in our careers, you know, we really focus on our careers. We may just be looking at the world from a very, very contained lens, and we may not be open to that. We may not even be looking for that, but just taking the steps to step back and recognize that opportunities exist out there, and we should be maybe not watching for them every minute of every day, but just the taking the step of being open may allow you to see some opportunities that you were missing over the time that you were too focused.
Exactly. I'll give you one quick example. I can recall several years ago that I was at a high school meeting for my daughter, and they were doing their end of school year festivities, and I can't recall exactly what it was, but it was a roundtable discussion. And they were talking about, this individual was talking about setting up a website for the students and all. And I thought, he sets up websites. I need a website. Perhaps I can talk to him about creating a website for me. That would not have happened had I not had the approach of being open and receptive. That was several years ago, and we're still doing business today as an example. So when you're open and receptive, it gives you an opportunity to see, which leads me to the second point of recognizing opportunities, is to relate the unrelated. You know, when you're open and receptive and you see all these opportunities coming because you're open, it allows you to relate things together that previously may not have been relatable.
Carry on with that, because what you just said to me is sometimes if you see a lot of opportunities and they're coming at you quicker because you're open, you may be overwhelmed and you're unable to relate it to the relatable. How does someone allow this step of recognizing opportunities to take hold versus feeling so overwhelmed that now I've got too many opportunities coming at me? What step would you recommend?
Well, for example, maybe people are listening to you right now, and they're listening to Joe McKenzie talking, and maybe a nugget of information sparks a memory or a thought of a past relationship that you had encountered maybe 5 years ago, maybe just last week. And so now that thought of listening to the radio, listening to this podcast, listening to this recording, and you're saying, oh my goodness, I know
John Jones. And John Jones does this, and they were talking about recognizing opportunities. And so now something that was unrelatable, as simple as listening to Joe McKenzie and Freddie Bell talking today, helps to spark a memory or an idea that you can relate, an idea that previously, because you were not open, you were not receptive, now you can relate those two seemingly disparate ideas together that can form a wonderful opportunity for you.
Okay. So really, that step will also allow you to better be in a better position to make it actionable versus something that seems so out of your reach.
That's exactly right. So step number one is to be open and receptive to see. That's the step number one in recognizing opportunities. Step number two is to relate the unrelated, or the seemingly unrelated, I should say. And then that's now step number three, as you just mentioned, is taking action. There are some people who see the unrelated and they relate it. They have their minds open and they can see the opportunities. But where they fall, and this is something that I hear you talk about all the time, is you have a segment called Takeaways when we talk each week. And now it's that step of taking action that leads you in the direction of your goals, that leads you in the direction of your dream. Have you ever failed to take action on something that you knew could benefit you, and then you saw things happening in a way that, like, God, doggone it, if I had just taken that step, things might have been different? Has that ever happened to you, Joe McKenzie?
Yes, it has. And I think it was probably some other factors in my life. Maybe it was time or other commitments that maybe I didn't take the steps on how to make it actionable that I have regrets over. Maybe I dismissed it too early without putting, how can I make this actionable? And I know there's a couple opportunities that I regret not taking action on that I think at the end of the day, I probably could have taken advantage of.
It's so interesting that we come across so many different opportunities and ideas. If they were electricity, it would be enough to light the entire world. But that light goes out when we fail to take action. So in recognizing opportunities, to put a bow on this, it's really important, in my opinion, to be open and receptive in order to see these opportunities. If you don't open your eyes and just imagine what's inside, you'll never see it. And then as you see these opportunities, be able to relate the unrelated. You may not know how these two things can relate, but because of what you're trying to do, what you're trying to see, you can start to relate the seemingly unrelated. And then number two, as you relate those opportunities, it's important, really important, to take action. The name of the book is Words to the Wise. It's available everywhere fine books are sold. And Joe McKenzie, I'll give the last word to you, and that you raise this idea of recognizing opportunities.
Well, the fact of the matter is that 8 years ago, I recognized an opportunity to collaborate with you on New Beginnings. And I took action. And here I am. And because I recognized a good opportunity, a whole plethora of new opportunities I've recognized come towards me because of that decision 8 years ago to collaborate with you on New Beginnings. So that if we want to humanize it, that's why recognized opportunities jumped off the page for me in your book, Words to the Wise, is I saw this as an opportunity and I took action.
Way to go, Joe McKenzie. We got to leave it right there. And you know, when I think about Joe McKenzie, I think about Ripple Connects, and you do some fine work with your organization.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
And this is New Beginnings.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's rippleconnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, rippleconnects.com.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and now it's time to talk finance with Libel Sternbach. Libel is an Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety, and he's also the author of Authenticity. Libel, hello, and welcome back.
I am doing great. How about yourself?
Unbelievable. A robust conversation underway as we talk about retirement. And I'm just curious, Libel, what is a way that you would suggest that somebody who is in retirement or contemplating retirement, that they can make money while they're retired?
So there are a lot of options.
Oh, good.
A lot of options. I'm gonna share something.
You're making me nervous.
Dave Ramsey, I was watching one of his videos the other day, and I don't agree with a lot of what he says. I think he's, you know, he's got a good program, a good approach, and for the people who it works for, it's amazing. Somebody was bashing him, and his response was, "It is amazing that in this day and age, all you have to do is say some common sense and refute all this, right? That there is a lack of common sense in this world. And when it comes to retirement, when it comes to working, right? It used to be like you'd get old and nobody wanted you because you were, you know, it was harder for you to work. You couldn't do the physical stuff. It's, you know, they would get someone who was younger and faster and cheaper. But guess what? The younger, faster, cheaper are stupider. So you, with your accumulated wisdom, can come in and not only can you do the thing faster and better than the young person, and I don't mean do the TikTok dances. I mean, you can look at a problem and you've seen this 1,000 times before, and you have emotional intelligence because you weren't raised in front of a screen. And so you have skills that the newer generations are just lacking. And so you are very much in demand. And part of the reason why we have a housing shortage, and part of the reason why we're in this weird inflationary pressure that we have, is because the old people are still working. All the people who were supposed to retire because they got old and their backs hurt and they no longer would be able to show up to the factory, well, they're not working factories. They're working management jobs. They're working consulting jobs. They're still sitting in those jobs, and they're holding them back from the millennials and the younger generations who ordinarily would be taking that over. And, you know, they're still living in their big houses, or they're building bigger houses now. So when we think about what work can you do as, you know, as a retiree, especially part-time, I'll be very open about it. Most of the people I hire are over the age 50. I very much do not like hiring young people because, you know, yeah, they're great for pushing buttons and understanding how technology works. And I don't understand some of the stuff that, you know, goes on online, and I have young people for that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to putting it together and making it so that something resonates with another human being, that, you know, something reads properly and communicates my message, that something, that the work that I want done gets done, that I rely on people 50 and older, because there is a certain experience that comes with that. There's a quality that you as an older person not raised on technology have that cannot be found. So do not devalue that just because you take it as a given.
One is communication skills.
Yeah. Yeah. Communication skills. Communication skills, empathy, emotional intelligence, and an ability to figure things out on your own. Right?
You cannot undervalue that at all.
No, but you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised at how many times I get asked by younger people I hire, how do I do this? It's like, that's what I'm paying you for. You go figure it out. I don't want to tell you how to do it. If I told you how to do it, then I wouldn't need you. But that is a quality that you have, that problem solving ability, the ability to think not digital first. And so that skill set, that those insights that you have are extremely valuable. Now, how do you leverage that while not, you know, working your ass off, while sitting on a beach, you know, sipping a mojito, right? The younger generation has really figured that one out. How do you do nothing and get paid for it? So you need to, you know, start picking some cues from them of how to do it. And some of the ways to do it is freelancing, right? So this gig economy, this is the future, right? The working 9 to 5 for an employer, that is on the way out. And when I was, you know, talking the other day about the economy's reshuffling, this is one of those reshufflings that are going to happen, which means that if you get yourself into this freelancing world, right, whether it's freelancer.com, and I personally have been working and hiring as a freelancer since I was like 12.
Wow.
And you just go on there. You got Fiverr, you got Upwork, you got freelancer.com. I mean, there's Postmates, there's all kinds of ways of time sharing your value. And that's really what it is. You work for when you want to work for, and you decide how much you get paid. And there is someone out there who will use your skills. And you just need to get good at pushing that out there.
That's not a bad way to make money, and you don't have to be in retirement to leverage these resources.
No, you don't. I mean, hell, it might help you retire.
We're talking with Lybel Sternbach. We were talking about your retirement and whether or not you have enough money in your account to retire. We've learned from Lybel that a lot of this is just the emotional resource that you have. Talk about, if you will, Lybel, about the measures that can be taken to ensure that comfortable retirement, even if you don't have a lot of money saved up. You talked about the gig economy. What about, what are some of the other resources that we should be looking toward?
Yep. So what I want you to look at, right? I mean, you need to look at, you know, what are the resources that you have in terms of your house, your car, right? Your skills, that's you as human capital, right? What are you capable of doing? And what are you capable of selling and providing and value that you can provide? And then you also have things like, sorry, I lost my train of thought.
Okay. So 3, 2, 1, we're talking with Lybel Sternbach about retirement, and you gave us some ideas of what we can do to, if we have a gig economy, we can go to Fiverr and other such resources to bring in extra money. We can freelance. What are some other measures that we can take to make sure that we have a comfortable retirement and the money that we want?
Yep. Okay. So in addition to the making more money, or really under the category of making more money, you want to make sure that you're investing your time, which is what we talked about, and then your money, right? So whether it is the assets that you have right now, whether it's your home, or whether it is the money that you earn freelancing, or what you have in your 401k or your retirement account. But I want you to look at every resource that you have and say, how can I make more of this, right? If I have a dollar in my wallet, how do I turn that into two? If I have an hour in my day, how do I either turn that into 2 hours, or how do I get paid for that time, right? If I'm just going to be sitting there on the couch and I don't know what to fill my time with, how can I earn money doing that? And when you start asking those questions, and you also look at your expenses, right? And you say, how can I reduce my expenses? How can I reduce the ways that I'm losing money? And so I kind of look at this as like a two-tiered thing. And so the way I look at it is, you know, what are the things that are taking away value? So wasted time, wasted money, paying too much in taxes, paying too much in expenses, buying things in bulk, right? That's one way to save money. You know, you're going to need toilet paper. If you buy it in bulk, it is cheaper, right? On the same token, cash flow is important, right? So if you're living on Social Security, you need to juggle those two. And if that's your only income, but look at all the resources you have. And if there's something that you think isn't a resource, question it. Right. If there's an expense that you think that can't get cheaper, question whether that is actually true. Mm-hmm. Asking the question, why? Right. Why Why am I paying this? Why is this not, why, how can I do this cheaper? Why can't I do it cheaper? And you just keep asking that question. You just keep asking it of anybody who you can. You will be surprised at your answers, right? Whether it's bills, call them up, say, what can I do to reduce this? Whether it's, you know, you want to start, you know, selling something or your investments, right? Can I do better, right? How can I do better and still feel comfortable? There is always a way to stretch that dollar out further, and you just need to keep digging and digging. And I have on my website a ton of resources for specific scenarios. If you have questions that I don't address on there, you know, just submit them, email them to me. And it might be the topic of a show. It might be a free report that I create or a blog post. But that is that that is those are the questions you need to ask. And that's what I'm here to address is that question. How do I maximize the resources that I have, minimize the ways that it gets reduced, either by taxes, by government, unnecessary expenses, et cetera? And how do I enjoy it to the fullest? Right? Don't forget that part. You know, all this money that we're talking about, all this stretching and making it do, what good is it if you don't enjoy it? Right?
Exactly. Exactly. I'm thinking about those concert tickets that I need to to get while I'm in retirement. So yields4u.com, yields the number 4u, the letter u.com, is a resource from Leibold Sternbach. I've got to ask you this question. I know we're talking about making the money work for us, but let's think about the economy. How do you think the economy will affect retirees, especially for those who can't afford to retire in the next 10 to 20 years? I think I may have answered the question myself, is that we do have some time on our side.
You have time on your side. You have more time than you think because medicine has gotten better. They've been calling retirement the third adulthood, right, for a while now. Mm-hmm. Many retirees, you know, living 20, 30 years. So you've got a lot of time on your hands, and you've got a lot of time for that growth, which means that you gotta look at your decisions in that time context as well. The other thing that I want you to think about is that you are not alone in this. The same problems that you're going through, there is literally tens of millions of other people in same or worse situations. So we have to solve this problem for all of them. So don't make the assumption, and don't let people make you make the assumption that you have to do this for yourself, that you're in this fight alone and you have to provide for your healthcare and you're the only one who has to provide for, you know, a roof over your head. Us as a country could not live with ourselves if we let that happen. I mean, hell, that's how the Social Security Administration came about, was because us as a country were like, we forced all these people to move from the farmland where they were getting taken care of by their family, and they worked in these factories all their life, and then they get sick, and mm-hmm. the last few years, they're a burden on their family, and they can't do anything, and this isn't right. So the country as a whole came together and passed the Social Security Act to provide funds for people in their retirement so they can live in dignity, right? We as a country will solve this. You need to do your part until that happens, but it will happen because the largest voting block is not going to end up on the street. It's just not going to happen.
That's true. We're just about out of time, unfortunately, Leibold, but my last question maybe is hope for people who are in retirement or very, very close to it. Is it ever too late to save for retirement?
It's never too late to save for retirement. It doesn't matter, even if you are already retired, right? You've got a ways to go. So, you know, save as much as possible, but don't do it at the expense of living. Don't do it at the expense of enjoying. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow. So don't be a miser and be that person who dies in a golden house. But at the same time, don't be that person who, you know, dies penniless.
Thank you, Leibold. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. His website is simply LeibeldOnFire.com. That's LeibeldOnFire.com. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought.
Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference, available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble. Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
It happened this week, and in the last few days, we learned that Ashley Judd is revealing how her mother, country music legend Naomi Judd, died. The actress appeared on Good Morning America, and she says her family wanted to control the spread of information before an autopsy was released. Ashley revealed her mother used a firearm to take her own life on April 30th. She says her mother was unable to hang on after a long battle with mental illness. And NBC's Football Night in America will soon have its first full-time female host. The network says Maria Taylor will succeed Mike Tirico, who was named the lead announcer on Sunday Night Football. Football Night in America has one of the network's biggest weekly viewership numbers. Taylor is a former ESPN anchor who joined NBC last summer. NBC has not announced a full lineup of analysts who will be joining Taylor for the upcoming season. Australian researchers believe they've found a way to detect babies at risk of SIDS, or sudden infant death syndrome. SIDS typically occurs when a seemingly healthy baby under the age of one dies suddenly and normally occurs while they're asleep. Scientists found an enzyme was lower in babies who died from SIDS as opposed to babies who lived. And the first ever photo of the Milky Way's black hole is being revealed. The image shows an oval-shaped void with a bright ring surrounding it. This is only the second image ever captured of a black hole, while being the first to show a detailed look at the Milky Way's core. The black hole is around 27,000 light years away and is 4 million times more massive than the sun. Wow. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell. And now it's time to hear from my friends at Unity South Twin Cities, located at 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington, Minnesota. They have two services at 9 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. The Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. Let's join them now for a program already in progress, the lesson entitled An Elegant Sufficiency.
Our point of power is, what are we going to do creatively with the daily bread of today? How are we going to, as my father used to always remind me, enjoy it as much as you possibly can? Fully utilize the good you've been given right now. Well, but I need something that I have to pay off next month. And no. What are you going to do today with the daily bread, with what you've been given? Because your power of discernment, your power of creativity, your willingness to share and put that good to work is in the moment. You can't say, well, let's see, how generous am I going to feel next September? No, it's a present experience. Much like that beautiful music. I will be there in your present moment. I will be there in your present moment. Charles Fillmore also stated a very cool idea. I put it in your newsletter this week. Recently, we talked about that statement Jesus made, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Charles kind of did it his own way, and he said, "The truth you know is the truth you use." Otherwise, it's only theory and has no power to change your life. Truth. Not truth that Unity talks about, not truth that I talk about, not truth that your friends tell you about, but the truth you use, you put into practice in your life. Well, some people here at Unity South are getting excited because they've enrolled in the Keys to the Kingdom, a course on abundance. But it's not about getting things, whether it be money, luxury items, even necessities. They are learning that it is a quest to realize this idea of elegant sufficiency, to fully realize how God is manifesting in your life today, now, what you can do in the present moment when you're awake, alert, enthusiastic. Which is a word that means filled with God. Filled with Spirit's power in the moment. So our goal in our Keys to the Kingdom study course is a lot of introspection, discussion among people, exercises we can practice. But we have to remember the sole purpose is to build an abundance consciousness. And that's not a heart and mind filled with many things. It's a heart and mind that keeps itself in the flow of life. In this moment, I have enough. Those of you who attended our early service for many years and learned at the feet, as it were, of Marlene Qualley, knew that she would often challenge people. For example, Judy, right now, this moment, are you okay? Do you have enough? Right now, this moment, Judy, are you okay? Do you have enough? She would keep bringing the attention back to this moment. Oh, but you don't know how difficult my boss is at work and I have to go back to work. No. Are you okay? Do you have enough in this moment? Keep your attention here because it's your point of creativity. It's your point of discerning God's activity in your life. When Carlotta gets her team to go work on our gardens outside, they're very present to the needs of the plantings right then. Look what's happening. Look what's coming forth. Not, well, let's all sit around and consider what that plant was like 12 months ago. No, it's what's right here before us. What is enough in this moment? Another early teacher in New Thought, good old Anonymous, gave this maximum. You only receive from life that which you appreciate. You only receive what you appreciate. That is elegant sufficiency. Sufficiency for that moment. I happened across, thinking about elegant sufficiency, a book in my library by Mark and Angel Chernoff. And one of the chapters listed 10 things you must give up to be successful. Let me say that again. 10 things you must give up to be successful. Now, I'm not going to do all 10 this morning, but just a couple. Their number one was give up the habit of waiting. Give up the habit of waiting. The way you spend your time defines who you are. Only you can decide how you are going to live right now.
Unity South Twin Cities, 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington, Minnesota. You can join them each week either at 9 or at 10:30 a.m. and for their weekly activities as well. It's New Beginnings, and I'm Freddie Bell, and today is National American Red Cross Founders Day.
Clara Barton founded the American Red Cross in 1881 and became the first president of the organization. She led it for the next 23 years. The American Red Cross is a humanitarian organization that provides assistance in the United States. It is a designated affiliate of the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies. It's headquartered in Washington, D.C., and the Red Cross is governed by volunteers. In addition to domestic disaster relief, the American Red Cross also offers services in five other areas, including community service, communication services, the collection and processing and distribution of blood and blood products, educational programs on preparedness, health and safety, and international relief and development programs. And here are today's words to the wise. Mine is a life overflowing with abundance. Today's words to the wise read, mine is a life overflowing with abundance. For more information, FreddieBell.com. Well, that's our show for this week, and a special thank you to all of our special guests, including Dr. Michael Osterholm, Joe McKenzie, Leibel Sternbach, and of course you. It wouldn't be a program without you being right there. And make sure you tell a friend to join you with New Beginnings. Make sure you have your iPad or a pen and paper with you as we give you information you can use. That's it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for making us a part of your week. And for everyone who's been a part of this one, this is Freddie Bell saying that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you next time.